All right. Can you hear me okay? Yes. You wave your hand if you can hear me. Okay, great. I was able to hear Brother Dwayne, so thank you for that. It's the first time that I've preached for the Phoenix Local. I appreciated Brother Adam reaching out to me and asking me if I could do it. I always love to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I know you do as well. So I had some thoughts that were put on my heart today, some things I've been thinking about, and I thought that this opportunity would be appropriate to share some of those thoughts. And I'm hoping the technology all cooperates. I'm going to be switching back and forth a little bit between the slides and the scriptures. I have some of the scriptures on the slides, but then I also have them over in the window, and I don't have them on the slides. I like people to bring their scriptures to church too, so I try to balance that a little bit. But I am going to be showing all of the scriptures if I can switch back and forth without complication between the various windows, and I'll try to remember to do that each time. I don't have it in a mode where I can just share my screen. Unfortunately, I just have to share the window, so I'm going to switch back and forth. But I believe, okay, I can see there the picture that you're seeing, so you can see my slide. So what we're going to talk about today is love, and we're going to talk about our first love. And this is something that like I said, has been on my mind. It's been on my mind for maybe the last month or so, and kind of came up again when I started watching some of the Chosen episodes. I don't know if any of you have watched that or not. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to watch them. I watched a few years ago, or maybe it was a year ago. And there's a lot of fiction in it, so you have to be careful. So I'm asking myself as I watch these, trying to remember what's true and what's not true. But as I was watching these, I did take pleasure or joy in the things and some of the scenes and some of the stories. Repeats of stories I've heard before, read before in my scriptures, they did move me. So I think I will continue to watch them. But what I'm going to talk about here is our first love. And I was thinking about my first love with regards to the things of God, the things of the Lord, and the things of the scriptures. And I've had various experiences in my life. I grew up in various churches. And it wasn't until I was probably in late high school or college that I think I really found the Lord more personally for me. And Kelly always teases me. I kind of cleaned up my act, but she said that's about the time I started to date Kelly. And she said, "Well, it was because you met me, and I got you all cleaned up and stuff." But the Lord had a lot to do with it too. So, but I was thinking about this time during my college years when I just had such a passion for reading my scripture and wanting to spend time with the Lord. And I remember I was taking care of a teenager. I was staying at their house while his parents were gone. I really didn't do that very often, but I was doing it in this case when I was in college. I remember going over there, and he'd be in school or whatever. I go over there and I take my scriptures and I just read, or maybe I would go back and forth between my house and his house, and I'd let his cat out when he was gone at school. I would take my Bible with me and I would read it when I was over there. I just had this extreme passion to want to read his word, and I really developed that love for the scriptures and for the gospels at that time. And so this is just picture I got. Maybe you had a time in your life where you were really growing in your faith with the Lord, and hopefully you always have a passion to read the scriptures. Hopefully you always have passion or time that you want to spend with the Lord, and hopefully that love and that passion that you had originally, hopefully you still have that in your life. And I don't always have that. There's times in my life I'm up and down. Sometimes it's like a roller coaster. But, we need to always remember what brought us here. There's a lot of things about the gospel I didn't understand, a lot of things about the commandments of the Lord, the principles of the gospel, things I was working through on my own to try to read and understand about what I was reading in my scriptures. But I knew I wanted to learn it. I knew that I had a love for the Lord, and I wanted to do it, and I wanted to do it right. But it was this idea of love, or this truth of love that was in me, love for the Lord, love for his gospel, and that he loved me, that really wanted me to pursue this, to continue to pursue this and learn more about the love, or learn more about his commandments and his truth. But it all started with the zeal and the love that I had from the Lord and some of those original stories that I read or I learned about when I was a kid in Sunday school. I wanted to know the Lord. I really wanted to know him. And I was thankful. I had a love for him because he had a love for me first. And we got scripture coming up about that. But I'm just going to turn to this passage here, Revelation 2, 1 through 6. There's one scripture that I am aware of that talks about a first love. And hopefully you guys can see this okay. I think you can. Yep, looks like you can. Okay, so this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. I think I'll read through verses 6. So it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience." I'm going to turn my volume down here. "And thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." So they're doing their job here. You know, they're confounding false doctrine or false teachers, false apostles. This was a good thing that they were doing. It says, "And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." So they're doing work for the Lord also. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." So here's a passage here, verse 4. "Somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And it puts us in the context of works here. "Once, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." So there was something that they were doing originally that they were no longer doing. It was their first love. And so I put this in here because, again, I think I don't always remember why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't always remember the passion and the love I have for the Lord, and more especially the love that he has for me, and how much I love his gospel, and how much I want to read it and share it and talk about it. It's really what makes me whole. It's really what fulfills my life and gives me joy. Everything builds upon the love that the Lord has for us, and he had for us. So I am going to go back to the slides here. Next one, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. And I had thought about this passage at conference, and I will tell you why here in a second, but I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Okay, so make sure I switch back for you. Another familiar passage, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing." And that's all I'm going to read. I'm going to stop right there. So if you look at some of the other translations of this, it translate this word charity as love, but it talks about some things here. It talks about speaking in tongues, I believe, here at the front. talks about prophecy, understanding all the mysteries of the Lord, all knowledge. We have all the knowledge that's imparted to us through the scriptures, what the Lord's given to us, faith to remove mountains. So you have all these things, all these gifts, but yet if you don't have love, you're nothing. And when I was at conference, there were a lot of prayers that went up for brothers and sisters. We had a lot of seasons of prayer. And there were times when we would stop what we were doing and pray for people. And I think it was one evening, it may have been the last night, I don't remember, Tuesday or Wednesday maybe, but we were done with our service and everybody was getting ready to go home. And one of the brothers, I don't remember who it was, but said, we need to stop and have a season of prayer for a sister, I believe it was. And so everybody stopped what they were doing and we had a season of prayer for them and we prayed for them. And throughout our prayer services and the services that week, we would take the time to offer up our prayers for people. And there was an attitude of love among the people that were there at conference. It was good, a good attitude of love and caring for the needs of our different brothers and sisters. And I thought, well, you know, it all starts with that. There were some brothers and sisters that shared some dreams that they had, I think, during the sacrament service. There were no callings. There were no other manifestations that I am aware of. No prophecy. No mountains. Well, I shouldn't say that. We prayed for some things, and I believe people were blessed greatly because of it. But there were no mountains that were moved, literally. But it all starts with love, and I took joy in that, of the love that was shown between the brothers and sisters that were there at conference, and that really touched my heart. So it all starts with love. It all builds from love. I'm going to go back again. Mark 12:28-34, and it's another passage I think you're familiar with. We find it in multiple places. The greatest commandment, and I'm going to go to the one in Mark 12:28-34. Okay. I think you can see this on the screen. I think I'm zoomed in enough here. Said, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And so we find this in the old law. And our Lord Jesus is referencing that commandment here. Love our God. He's one Lord. With all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And I didn't really take the time. I've never really done this before, but it breaks us up, this love that we're to have for our Lord, through the heart, the soul, and with the mind. There are different aspects of this love that we have. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. So if you think about that, the Lord has a love for us. We love the Lord. We love our God. We emulate the light of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And we want our neighbor. We want ourselves. We want our neighbor to know the commandments of God, of Jesus Christ. We want to follow the straight and narrow path according to the gospel. And so we strive for that. It says, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. There is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So this man here, this teacher, he had this figured out based on what we read here. He was just being exposed to Jesus Christ for the first time, but he had a real understanding of what the law was all about, pointing the way to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus applauds him for it right here. It says, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. So again, it all starts with love. And it's so important that this is what the Lord used here, this commandment, to answer, to provide the answer to the question of the greatest commandment. So then we think about that. I think, sometimes we might get lost in other commandments, and they may even become more important to us than our love that we have for the Lord. And not that they're not important. It's all important, very important. But this is what the Lord said is the greatest commandment. So, I ask myself, do I have the love that I'm supposed to have for the Lord? I see a lot of people in society that, other Christians that have a great love for the Lord. Unfortunately, they don't have the interpretation of Scripture like we do, and they don't use the fullness of the gospel in the Book of Mormon like we have. So they stumble. But yet there are many out there that love the Lord very much. They may even, love the Lord more than I love the Lord. But it's the greatest commandment. In 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And we talked about all this. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The world talks about love in various ways. Churches talk about love, talk about loving God. And they don't always talk about keeping the commandments of the Lord. So this is what the love of God, the love of our Lord, the love he had for us, this is what points us to keeping his commandments. We want to keep his commandments. We want to be obedient to him in a way that he's asked us to do. This passage here, I've read this before multiple times, and I don't know if I don't remember it or what, but I came across it just today when I was finishing this message. Philippians 1:15-17, it says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And I'm not going to try to interpret all of this, but the point here is some preach Christ for the wrong reasons, for envy and for strife, for pride. Do it with like the Book of Mormon says, they do it with anger, with contentious anger. That comes from the devil. They don't do it sincerely, and it creates problems. It adds affliction. It says it's adding affliction here to Paul. And what's interesting, something else, this is just an extra fact here. I was looking at this in the King James Version. All these verses, of course, are in the King James, but I wanted to look at this in the NIV, and it actually swaps verse 16 and 17. It says 16, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, and 17, but the other of love. If you look at this in the NIV, it says it the other way around. Verse 16, the latter do so out of love. And verse 17, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition. That's interesting. I had not known of any sort of translation, the NIV, that would swap verses around like that. Maybe you do, but I'm going to read this from the NIV. It says, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Why are we preaching the gospel? Why are we preaching the commandments? Why do we spend so much time doing what we do? We all have a part to play in the church, and we all have to do our job, right? That's what was preached and said at conference. That was one of the main messages that we heard at conference. We need to do our jobs. Everybody has a job, has a duty. But why are we doing that? Are we doing it out of love, or are we just doing it to make ourselves look good? Are we just going through the motions? Why are we doing it? Christ, when he taught, he did it with love in his heart. This is a former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am chained, right? I mean, we do work. Some of the brothers, I believe, we have brothers that go on missionary journeys overseas to the Philippines, down south to Africa, wherever it may be. This is the reason why we do what we do, because we are to have a love for people. It all goes back to that first love, the first love that we realize that the Lord has for us. And so we want to share that love with others, just like our Lord did. That's why we do what we do. We don't want them to face destruction. We want them to go to the paradise of God, not the other way around. I just remembered a dream that brother had at church. It was Brother Adam Porter, and he had a dream where he saw both paradise and he saw hell. And this was, I think, when he was first called or before he was called, and he would tell this. He told it to me a couple times, and it provided a motivation to him to do his job, because he didn't want anybody to suffer like he was seeing people suffer the way they were in that dream. He did it. He wanted to do it, or was doing it, because he didn't want anybody to face that. And so it helped develop the love that he had for people. It all starts with love. First Nephi 3:59-67. So let's go to this. So this is with regards to the vision that Lehi had. Well, it refers to that, but at first here it refers to, this is Mary, the mother of the Lord. It says, and it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the spirit. So we know that she conceived through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And after that, she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of a time. The angel spake unto me, saying, look. Oh, oops, sorry about that. Look, and I looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore it's the most desirable above all things. And so Lehi had that vision or that dream, and, they were holding on to the word of God, the rod of iron, and it took them, it brought joy in their life. It brought great joy, and they experienced the love of God when they partook of this tree. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and it's the most joyous to the soul. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men, and I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. So this is the word of God that points us to Jesus Christ, to the love that he has for us. It brings joy to our life more than anything else can in this life. And that's, I think, why we have such a great love for the Lord, because he sacrificed himself for us, but there's nothing better in this life that we're offered in any way, the love that the Lord has for us, that he's done for us, knowing that what we do in this life for the Lord, that it's not in vain, right? I think that was said at conference also. It has purpose, it has everlasting purpose and value, unlike so many other things in life. This has purpose, and it's all motivated by love. It should all be motivated by the love that we have for others. This is interesting. So I haven't really researched this, and I've heard it from other brothers, but during the Middle Ages or around that time, during the apostasy, the Bible was chained to pulpits. Not everybody had access to it. And they even had it chained up in libraries after it was printed, maybe. Because it was so valuable, there weren't very many of them, that people would steal them. So they'd chain them up. So we think about ourselves. We not only have free access to the Bible online, or we can buy it and print. It's available everywhere. I know they're having problems right now in Ukraine that not everybody can get a Bible. But think about what we have, the great blessing that we have in this life, in this generation, that we have the Bible. Not only that, we have the Book of Mormon. We have the fullness of the gospel. There's been people that have gone before us that have not had these things, that have not been able to experience, to read about the love that the Lord has for us, to read the stories of Jesus Christ, to experience that like we have been able to experience that. And then, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, or sometimes we might trample it under feet, what we've been given. Luke 7:36-50. I don't think I'm going to read all of this. Let me go to it here. Okay, it's kind of awkward switching back and forth, but I think this is working out. Luke, oh, what was that? Luke 7:36. So, I don't know what type of experiences or thoughts you've had or emotions that you've had with the Lord. Maybe you haven't had a lot of emotion in your conversion experience, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think there's a point in all of our lives that we should have a pure love or joy because of what the Lord did for us, and to realize that we are great sinners, and without the Lord we would be lost. And this Pharisee in this story did not have the right perspective on this woman. And I'm going to read this here. It says, "And when one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. So this lady had a lot of trials in her life, doing things that weren't good. I mean, how many of us, looking back, can look back upon our lives? And I've had things in my life that I am embarrassed about, before I found the Lord, that I want to share with you. How many of us have stories like that? And, think about that. It's easy to take it for granted, but think about the forgiveness that we have with the Lord. And the Lord says, you repent of those things, and he's not going to remember them anymore, is what he says. He's going to forgive us of those things. And so this lady realizes, this woman, she's taken full advantage of the forgiveness that was offered to her. But, you know, Christ would say, you know, don't sin anymore. There's the other story. You've had all these husbands and the lady that they're throwing rocks at because of adultery. And this happened with both men and women, right? It's not just women. It's everybody had these conversion experiences that they were lost. They were lost. You know, Enos, he was lost. And he prayed to God, and God said, your sins are forgiven. And after he prayed all day for that. So these are people that were passionate about the Lord. It says here, and when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Talking about love. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She had a pure love for the Lord. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So this was the love that she had for the Lord. She realized that the Lord had come. She had this. We read about the stories of Jesus going to people and talking to them and doing miracles. This lady was right there in the midst of it, and she took full advantage of it. And she was able to go and tell the Lord how much she loved him. And she was so thankful that she was forgiven of those things that she had done. Something else I thought about, there was a brother, he's now a minister, but I was listening to a podcast, and he was talking about how he came to know the Lord, and he has a story. When he was baptized, he came up out of the water, and he had an experience. And he had experience where he felt like the Lord was hugging him, like he was being embraced. This wasn't the person. I don't know. I need to talk to him about it more. I don't think it was the one he baptized him, but he felt like he was just being hugged and squeezed. And he took this as if it was the Lord. You know, he was given that special experience at his baptism. This is a song. I think you know, there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. I have always thought that's a special song, probably from the 1980s or around that time. And you know, there's something special about that, about his name. There's obviously something special about the Lord. You know, it's that first love. When we hear about Jesus, maybe it was a child you heard about Jesus for the first time. I don't know how you developed that first love for the Lord. If it was stories in the Bible, somebody talking to you, if it was later in life, or was it the Book of Mormon that touched you? It could have been various things. But this is kind of goes along with that attitude of love that we have for the Lord, this song. This next song, forgive me for putting it in here, but it's been going through my head as I put this sermon together, this verse. This is Johnny Cash, Man in Black. I don't think Johnny Cash should have been wearing black after he found the Lord. I think he should have been wearing the rainbow like he talked about. You know, just like the Lord put the rainbow in the sky. Take joy in what the Lord offered him and give that to others. But he says, I wear the black for those who had never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity, why you think he's talking straight to you and me. So I was thinking about this, you know, what a shame that would be, what a terrible thing that would be if you were not able to read about the Lord, that you didn't not know the words that Jesus said. If you could never read the Gospels and the Bible, if you could never read the experience he had, you know, over in this continent, in the Book of Mormon, if you could never read that, you would not be able to experience like we have been, you know, able to experience. But, you know, the Lord has mercy and gives hope to those people that don't know about him, or maybe that don't know the commandments before they pass away. But yet, what a great blessing it is to have that. So, you know, sometimes I think we need to remember why we do what we do. We need to remember that first love that we had for the Lord. And this is a picture of a love potion here. You know, this potion, in the context of Christianity, this is what Jesus has done for you. This is his word. You know, the things that he's done for you, the things he shared with you through manifestations or other, it's all, you know, anything related to the Lord. But, you know, in my case, it was reading the Gospels, really reading them for the first time in the Bible. That was really when I developed that first love for the Lord. So what does it take for us to remember our love for the Lord and his gospel? And this is something I mentioned. So this is a picture from this show that you can watch called The Chosen. Like I said, there's both facts and fiction in here, but there's wisdom. And so I was watching this, and I was thinking about, you know, these stories that I read about in the Gospels. You know, they were coming through life through this technology of video. And I think this is a good thing. I think this is a good thing. It brought joy to me when I watched some of these episodes. You know, but why does it take for us sometimes having to, you know, there's always a book in the Christian world that, say, you know, in the Protestant world or the Catholic world or wherever it might be, there's things, did you read this book? You know, the best and newest thing that's out there. And so they get, you know, they might get books and write sermons about them. And I'm not saying that's all bad. Or maybe there'd be a video, like a TV series like this called The Chosen. You know, there's a person at work that has a sign on his office, and it says, come and watch The Chosen on this day at this time. So I think he's in with a group of people, and they just go in and watch The Chosen during lunch or something. But we should always have the attitude and remembrance of what the Lord did for us. It should not take something like this to make that happen, though. The people can, you know, be inspired through the gifts that they have to bring these things back to our remembrance. And I am thankful for that. There are other pictures. This is when the Lord was talking with Nicodemus. This is a story I've always liked, the Lord talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he is greatly moved. You know, he opens his heart to the Lord. He was able to see the end of all things and the love that the Lord had for him. And it really touched his heart in this television series, the way they portrayed it. And he wept, just like we read of that woman who wept at the feet of the Lord. Here's another picture. This is the Lord with Peter, I think this is. And they portray these characters in different ways. And there's fiction in that. But this was at the wedding in Cana. And the Lord spent time with the children. So this is a neat picture that I found. We know the Lord had a great love for the children. He played games with them like he's doing here. These are the stories that inspired me when I found the Lord, when I found the first love. You know, maybe you have a different picture of what the Lord, what Jesus looks like to you. Here's something from some other older movie. Here's another one. here's a portrait from the 70s, maybe. There's another one. The Lord laughing. I think the Lord laughs. He gives us, we are made in the image of the Lord. Humor is a thing that God, I believe, created. Picture the Lord laughing. The Lord had joy. There's another picture. So just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all these, but there's stories that I like to read. Stories that when I first read that really touched my heart. The favorite reruns. What are your favorite reruns? The things that you like to read. The things that you first read and you thought were great episodes. That touched your heart when you read in the Gospels or in the Book of Mormon. And so there's examples here. This Luke 5, this is when, I'm not going to read these for the sake of time. I don't know how long this is going to take. But Luke 5 is when the Lord found Andrew and Peter. And he said, come and follow me. And there's this great catch of fish. This is a great story. And he said, come follow me. And they left everything they had and they followed the Lord. They saw what the Lord offered that the world did not offer. They wanted to give their life for the Lord and follow him. And so they did. It's a great story. Matthew 5, 1 through 15. This is the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are so, to me, they're so special. I love to read them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you mourn. And they'll be comforted. It's such a special, the Sermon on the Mount is marvelous. It's great. It's John 3. This is a story, the Lord with Nicodemus. And he talks about things. He talks about the Spirit. He talks about baptism in the water and how the Spirit works in our lives. And you can't see it, but you can feel it, right? That's how it is with the Spirit. There's all these doctrinal truths that are in that. But yet he also talks, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? One of the most popular verse that people remember probably in the Christian world, John 3:16. It's in there. I am going to turn to this. I'm not going to take too much more time here. John 17:18 to 26. Just a couple of things I wanted to point out in this. As thou hast sent me into the world, so this is the Lord Jesus talking to the Father, praying to the Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So the Lord offered himself as a sacrifice. He was without sin. It brings us sanctification. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. So you take note of this. He's talking about those that were with him, his disciples at this time in this passage. But then he's gonna say, I'm not only gonna pray for them, I'm gonna pray for the people that are gonna believe them and their teaching, right? That's us. That's me and you. That's the people that would follow after those original disciples and apostles that followed the Lord. He's prayed for us. And that I think is special. That he did that in the story, that he prayed for you and for me. Praise that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So the love, I think it was also said during conference, about becoming one flesh and we're one body. We're one. We have a love for one another as the Father loves his Son. And the Lord loved us. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The Father loved the Son, and then the Son comes down, and he loves us, and the Father, the love that the Father had for us, because, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. We believe the message. We believe that the Father had sent the Son. And I have declared unto them that thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Lord wants that love to be within us. And it all stems from the love that the Lord had for us, the first love, our first love that we realize because God loves us. We love him. We want to keep his commandments. We want to make the effort to make a difference in the lives of others because it all stems from that first love. I'm going to skip these next two passages, I think. 3 Nephi 8, 1 through 27. The Lord is praying to the Father. Oh, no. So the Lord said, well, I'm going to go. And then he looked at the people and they were weeping. They were teary eyed. They didn't want him to leave them. And he said, you know, I have compassion on you. I want to continue. I'm going to continue to minister unto you. Bring me your sick, those that are ill. And he healed them. And then he spent time with the children, and there was the fire around the children. It's a special story. It's such a touching story. John 10, he talks about the sheep and the lost sheep. He has sheep other that aren't of this fold, and he's going to talk to them. He's going to go talk to them, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Points us to the Book of Mormon. These are just examples. Your examples may be different than mine. These are just things I just was thinking about that touched me. I'm almost done. So, you know, these are books that I had when I was a kid, and we bought them when we started having our girls, and we still have them in our bookshelf. These arch books talk about a lot of stories throughout the Bible, a lot of stories about Jesus, and these are special stories. They're all the whole. It's all special, right? But these are some of my favorite reruns. Some of these stories. And, you know, sometimes I'll spend time. Maybe it's been years since I've really read the gospel for myself, right? I mean, we're always quoting it, right? In the ministry, they use it. But we also have to take time. We all have to take time in our lives to just spend time personally reading it. For ourselves, remembering that love, nurturing the love that we have for the Lord. I thought this was a neat picture. This is the Lord descending, a story in the Book of Mormon. What a special story that is. You know, 3 Nephi. What wonderful things. That whole book is wonderful. Maybe that's how you first encountered the Lord, which is through the Book of Mormon. I've got, I think, two short passages, and then I'm done. So this is the second to last, John 21, 24 to 25, right at the end of the Book of John. There's so many things about the Lord that we don't know, that we don't have. Maybe one day the Lord will learn more about the Lord. We'll be able to ask him questions, and he'll be able to tell us things. Well, what did he do during his childhood? So many things that he did that we don't know. Wonderful stories. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So many other things that we did that we don't know. But we're thankful that we do have the fullness of the gospel. And it's sufficient to point us to what we need in this life. And then I'm not going to switch back to the slides, but I am going to go figure out what the next verse is. So my last verse in closing, John 21, 15 to 17. So I'm going to go back just a little bit in the same chapter. This, you know, the sermon was developing over the past 2 days, and I thought, well, I can't leave this out of this. So we know that Peter denied the Lord, right? After he spent all that time with the Lord, he denied him. And don't we sometimes neglect the Lord? We neglect and forget the truth that he told us, and then the Lord has to come and correct us. And so let's read this, John 21, 15 to 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. How hard would that be for me and you to go through that, to do what we did, to deny the Lord? I never knew the man. And then the Lord to come back and say this. If you really love me, you know, do you remember the first love that you had for me and the passion that you had? Well, if you do, then feed my sheep. That is the purpose of the love. You know, it's for our salvation, of course, but it's also for the benefit of others. And as we work and we do the work of the gospel, I believe it's all goes back to the love that the Lord had for us, right? We read the passage in Corinthians about you can know all things, you can have this faith and knowledge and wisdom and prophecy, but if you don't have love, then it says you're nothing. We need to have that love. We need to be doing it for the right reasons, like we read about in Philippians. Preaching the gospel for the right reasons, not for selfish reasons, not for pride. It needs to be motivated by love. And, but in summary, the purpose of this message, I was just remembering the love that I had for the gospel, you know, that faith like a child, that great first experience of reading those things. And I want to always be in that state of mind, always remembering that first love that the Lord had for me. And I always want to be in the state of mind to love him in return because of that. So I'll go ahead and I'll close it there. I thank you for your time again. Like you, we have so much to be thankful for. We're so blessed to have the gospel. We're so blessed to have each other's brothers and sisters. And let's continue to nurture the love that we have for one another. Just thank you so much for your time.